The Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Judeans who came with her also were weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Judeans said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind men have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you have sent me." When Jesus had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Martha, or Marty as she was known, Klansky, was born August 24th, 1924. She was married to Roy Klansky and had three beautiful children, Ken, Pam, and Bill. She also had a set of amazing grandchildren, Catherine, Christian, Melissa, Will, Hannah, and Abby. Marty Klansky, Abby's grandmother, who passed away late last year, was an incredible wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and yes, saint. In some ways, it's kind of weird for me to say that, wouldn't you say? We aren't used to using the word saint in our official descriptions of people, especially our loved ones who have died. It seems lately that the Roman Catholic Church has patented this word as of late. You can only be a saint if you do a certain number of miracles, live a monastic life, and are known by the Pope. Now, Marty Klansky didn't perform any miracles that I know of, didn't live like a hermit, and she was definitely not known by the Pope. Yet I believe she was absolutely a saint to me, to our family, and to the world. So I think it's important on this All Saints Sunday to ask the question, what makes a saint? Well, the word saint comes from the Latin word sanctus, which means holy or sacred. I think where we get hung up with this is we somehow along the way have deemed holy and sacred as perfect. Well, I'll tell you now, Marty Klansky was not perfect. She had deep struggles in relating, especially to her mother-in-law. She struggled to understand and support her youngest son, Bill, who continues to wrestle with alcoholism. Marty had biases and opinions. Yet, despite all of these things, When you got a hug from Marty Klansky, you felt different. She was very small in stature, and towards the end of her life, she suffered, when I knew her, she got severe arthritis that made her fingers crooked and really hard to move, and so she would actually joke all the time that they would become very claw-like. And so when you would get a hug from Marty Klansky, she would wrap her small arms around you and her tiny little hands and do this kind of back and forth little hug. And she would also say something of like, "You are in my prayers today." There was no question that when you were in the moment of a Marty Klansky hug, you felt sacred. Perhaps you all have similar memories from loved ones in your family who have passed on. Maybe saints of our time are much then less perfect than we dream them to be, yet have much more of an impact on us than we realize. One of the most powerful verses for me in this text are actually the very last two of this gospel section, which goes like this. Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus is the one, in this story, of course, that calls Lazarus out of the tomb. But those around him were tasked with unbinding and taking off the cloth. God was the one who resurrected. The others were responsible for unbinding and setting free. So what if we then thought of saints not as those with divine powers who fly around and doing miracles, but those who help to unbind each one of us and set us free? I don't think we can gather here on this All Saints Sunday this year without heavier hearts, remembering the 11 lives lost due to senseless gun violence at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. There is no doubt in my mind that all 11 of these individuals were saints who followed God's life-giving call to free others. There is no doubt in my mind that all 11 of these individuals had their struggles and challenges with God and life's uncertainties. And there is no doubt in my mind that each of these 11 individuals were robbed of their lives, taken forcefully too soon in a chaotic scene that I don't care to imagine because it's so evil. We certainly, on this All Saints Sunday, need to remember those lives who were unfairly taken. But I think we also need to remember some other unspoken saints who were part of this episode. After a firefight with police, Robert Bowers, the accused shooter, was severely injured and taken to Allegheny General Hospital, where he was treated. According to multiple reports, he was yelling as he was being issued on the gurney, taken into the emergency room, "I want to kill all Jews." If Robert Bowers only knew then about the identity of the team tasked with keeping him alive. At least three of the doctors and nurses who cared for him were Jewish, one of which, including the president of the hospital, who were members at Tree of Life synagogue. Dr. Jeffrey Cohen was later interviewed, who said, "We are here to take care of sick people. We're not here to judge you. We're not here to ask, do you have insurance or do you not have insurance? We're here to take care of people who need our help." If we see saints or holy ones as those of us with God's help who unbind and set the rest of us free, no matter who you are, then these doctors and nurses truly were living out the call. I think this gets then at the question, what is our calling on this All Saints Sunday? Do we have a role beyond just remembering who has helped unbind us and set us free? You know, the word remember is a very interesting one. It comes from a series of old French words. Re, meaning again, and mémoire, which means mindful. So remembering then is the act of being mindful again and again and again in our daily lives. Thus, our remembering a saint is not just recalling the past transformative hugs of Marty Klansky or the good deeds of doctors and nurses. It is instead being inspired to mindfully live out our loved one's saintness publicly. For you see, saintness is not static, but is a living practice. As Jesus says in John chapter 14, "Because I live, you shall also live." That's how saints are meant to be. Ray Curtis, a dear member of this congregation, as many of you know, lost his wife, Nancy, about 3 years ago to an aggressive form of cancer. Nancy was an avid walker who would walk a similar route around their house, walking the dog. Ray and Nancy struggled with missteps and misdiagnoses from Nancy's doctors, struggled for support, and many times felt that they were the only ones who had to deal with this. He recalled to me later, "I don't want anyone else to go through what he had to go through, what we had to go through." And so then Ray got an idea. What if there was an organization that would be a one-stop shop of support and resources for navigating all of the healthcare mumbo-jumbo for cancer victims and families? So every year, Ray invites friends and family and community members to go on what he calls Nancy's Walk, not only to remember her as a saint, but to give life to a new idea that will probably save lives. Now, I haven't touched base with Ray lately to where this idea is at currently, but knowing Ray, I know it's going to happen. Living out our saintness by unbinding others. That's what today is all about. But unbinding, I believe, also stands for how we still relate to our loved ones as well. We aren't just bystanders watching the All Saints resurrection game, but are participating in bringing our loved ones to this new life as well. It's God's action, yes, to bring resurrection, but it is our task to unbind them from this life. In order to do this, maybe that means unbinding ourselves, just as much as it means unbinding our loved ones. So this is what I want to do in a little bit through ritual. You see this bowl here that has cloth wrapped around it. When we go up for communion and light our candles to remember our loved ones, I also invite you to take a bit of the cloth and unbind this bowl so that at the end, our loved ones will be unbound, will be free to live the life that God has promised. For our practice on All Saints Sunday should be one that reminds us that this promise begins now, not in the future. It's interesting, our New Testament reading from the book of Revelation stresses this a lot with a little bit of a wordplay. There are only two times in the book of Revelation that it is that God says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega" statement. It's used here in our reading, but then it is also expanded upon actually at the beginning in verse 8, chapter 1. This "I am" statement, as it is known, is well known in the Greek world, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. It is used in many different places around Greek society. In the famous statement, it was used by Greek gods to say, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." But notice, if you turn to chapter 1 in Revelation, verse 8, there is a wordplay that goes on here. It reads, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." It names the present first. The promise, then, the unbinding, begins now. Dr. Caroline Lewis of Luther Seminary writes, "God is our present, and because God is our present, that makes our future possible." We unbind our loved ones now, knowing that God is our now, that they still live in our now and will be there in the future when God calls our name. But until then, may we live out boldly their memory and saintness, unbinding and setting others free as much as we possibly can. And may God bless us in this saint journey, both now and forever. Amen.